The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
This is Dane Wigginton with GeoengineeringWatch.org Radio, the Global Alert News Hour for the week of August 10th, 2016. Another week has passed with the all-out assault of the planet, its life support systems, and its people. An unfortunate amount of those people are all too willing to participate in that assault by their behavior and their apathy, their lack of response to what's happening around them. This show is broadcast on KQMS throughout Northern California, Saturday morning 6 to 7 on 1400 AM and 99.3 FM. Those that want to listen to a recording of the show can find it on KQMS or on geoengineeringwatch.org under the radio section later in the day. We all continue to swim in a sea of lies and deception. The vast majority of the populations, as I stated, are still all too willing to accept the lies and deception so long as that keeps them in good standing with what they perceive as the majority. The vast majority, even in academia, are willing to accept and perpetuate the official narratives of fabricated and factless studies and conclusions in exchange for what they imagine to be security for their paychecks and their pensions. What are three of the most glaring realities that the population does not want to wake up to in spite of the glaring reality that's staring them in the face? 9/11, 15-year anniversary tomorrow. The inside job pulled off by global powers in the military-industrial complex. And as I've stated so many times in the past, I realize there are very exceptional individuals in our military who would never participate in this. I understand that. But the fact is, no rational person could look at, for example, Building 7 coming down. And I challenge anybody listening on this near 15th anniversary of 9/11, I challenge anyone, everyone, go to the internet, watch World Trade Center Building 7 collapse, watch that film, and tell me if you can possibly believe that that building, a 47-story steel structure high-rise building, collapsed at free fall speed in 7 seconds in its own footprint from some furniture burning on the first floor. If you believe that, there's not much I or anybody else can say to you that will open your eyes. But I challenge anybody, if you really care about the country, if you really care about our future, your children's future, do that. Second issue, vaccinations. Absolutely not safe. Mountains of data to prove this. And why would we believe otherwise? Don't we watch commercials on TV every day that if you took this pharmaceutical last week and now you're permanently damaged, you can sue? Why would vaccinations be any different? If they were so safe, why would the vaccination companies be immune from prosecution? Use your sense of reason. We've been given a sense of reason for a reason. We're obligated to use that and not to just stick to the official groupthink narrative. Third issue, climate engineering, which is much more than just climate engineering. It's weather warfare and biological warfare because the elements are highly toxic and destroying Earth's life support systems by the day. This is a fact. And if you've chosen to put your head in the sand because our local corporate-owned propaganda sources that masquerade as media have convinced you by their shoddy headlines that any rational person could see through if they tried. I've covered this in previous shows. Again, they avoid climate terms or climate science terms. They simply put out slander. They allow no rebuttal, no response with facts. This is in the case of Northern California, the Record Searchlight, KRCR, who compare any discussion of climate engineering with Bigfoot and swamp monsters and so forth. It's not hard to see through this for anyone who wants to. So all of us have to take some responsibility for what we choose to ignore or what we choose to accept that keeps us in denial. The human race is so prone to rationalization with their behavior and to rationalize their denial and to maintain it until the bitter end. The desire to remain, again, a part of the herd and to accept the groupthink and official narratives is so incredibly strong. And I've often wondered what I could have done to sound the alarm if I could have gone back several decades, if I could go back several decades. I've wondered about that countless times and pondered it. But knowing what I now know, the sad truth is this, I've had to face this, that the vast majority of our species is compelled to, again, avoid and deny harsh truths and unpleasant realities until absolutely forced to face them. And by that point, so much is past the point of recovery. Indeed, that's the position we're in now. We'll never know the planet we've known. The environment is irreparably damaged in countless ways. It's not going to come back in any time frame that matters, but we could still salvage something if people act very soon with total dedication, because they're going to be forced to wake up soon. That's a mathematical fact. As the horizon goes ever darker, again, it's up to all of us that are already awake to sound the alarm. This is our responsibility. It's not an option, it's an obligation. Later in this broadcast, I'll consider just how deep the lies may go in regard to the imminent peril we face due to Earth's imploding life support systems. Who's telling the truth about the climate? Who is not? I'll elaborate on, for example, conversations I once had with climate scientist Guy McPherson and give my opinion on Guy, who is clearly not willing to tell the truth about the climate engineering reality. And not just Guy McPherson, but the whole of academia, not willing to tell the truth for some of the reasons I've already just cited. On the subject of the state of the climate, formerly frozen methane deposits are rapidly releasing all over the globe, especially in the Arctic. Recent atmospheric methane levels are off the charts. The Arctic warming is happening exponentially faster than the rest of the world. What's the state of the sea ice? Why is it still holding together with sea temperatures in some locations of the Arctic some 25 degrees Fahrenheit above normal? On the methane threat, and that is the greatest single threat right now, climate engineering is making it worse, not better. How bad is it? More on that later in the broadcast. And now it seems that the criminal cabal that's masquerading as our government, this is another headline I'll cover in more detail later in this broadcast, is attempting to give the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, unimaginable powers to arrest U.S. citizens and hold them indefinitely with no due process of appeal and to force vaccinate. This is an attempted end run by a completely out of control and completely desperate power structure. I'll also cover this in more detail later in the show. And again, I want to connect what I've said in so many previous shows. All of these headlines connect as the environment completely implodes, as the climate engineering is ramped up to ever higher levels, completely blotting out our skies, disrupting weather patterns, destroying Earth's protective layers of atmosphere, starting with the ozone layer. As, again, biosystems collapse all over the globe, it puts the power structure in an ever more desperate scenario as they try to keep the population from waking up, and they are preparing to be able to control that population, or to try, as the population wakes up. And on the subject of vaccinations, before I get to headlines, another film that I just became aware of, I can't imagine I've missed this till now, but it's called Silent Epidemic, The Untold Story of Vaccinations, directed by Gary Null. I would highly, highly recommend this movie. For those that haven't been able to see Vaxxed yet, and I would recommend Vaxxed as well, just go to Vaxxed and you'll find a way to watch that film online for $3 or $4. But online are full length versions of Silent Epidemic, The Untold Story of Vaccinations by Gary Null. If you care about your child at all, if you care about the truth at all, if you care about your child's future at all, you will watch this film, especially if you are a medical practitioner who is in denial and actually harming children with vaccinations that are proven to be dangerous. And again, this is about science fact. It's about the additives that are put in vaccinations. Whatever potential a vaccination may have had under certain circumstances is completely negated when they fill the vaccinations with toxic elements that damage the nervous system. Thimerosal, aluminum. Why would you allow a doctor to inject mercury and aluminum into your child's veins? In fact, multiple injections at a single visit at times. Use your sense of reason, as I commented earlier. It's up to us to use that sense of reason and not shove our head in the sand. Now, a lot to cover today. I want to pick up the pace a bit. So, again, as the environment continues to implode, as it becomes ever more difficult for the power structure to hide that, for the economy, which can't continue to function with an imploding environment, here's some headlines. I covered last week the Korean shipping company, Hanjin, who's gone bankrupt. It's now cascading downstream. So here's a headline. Hanjin shipping collapse puts 11,000 in Busan at risk. Busan's in South Korea. So the cascading loss of jobs from that shipping collapse is increasing. Another headline on that subject. Hanjin's ghost ships seek havens with food and water starting to dwindle. Once the links in the chain start to drop out, and they're starting to drop out, and we've had container ships idle in various areas of the world for a long time now because global shipping is tanked for a long time, but people don't see it in America, especially because the stock market is completely artificially kept pumped up. That balloon will collapse soon. Wait and see. Another headline. Dutch bank warns 35-year economic supercycle is officially ending. Now, here's a headline that requires a little deeper analyzation. They make it sound as if economic cycles are some natural process, like the sun coming up every morning. And they just continue on by themselves and go through certain gyrations by themselves. It's not connected to the environment or anything else. That's a lie. That's a complete lie. There's no cycle. It's simply a matter of how long those in power can keep the balloon artificially inflated until it collapses. Period. Another headline. Tens of thousands of jobs go as China's biggest banks cut cost. Tens of thousands of jobs. If, as a reminder, in previous episodes, maybe a month or more ago, I covered the fact that 400,000 workers in China were fired in the steel industry because the economy is grinding to a halt. Industrialized society, again, is starting to collapse because this paradigm was flawed from the beginning. If it can't move forward, if it can't perpetually expand, and you can't perpetually expand on a finite planet with finite resources, at some point that forward momentum must stop, at which point the whole system collapses. And we're in the throes of that now. Another headline, Dell to cut 2,000 to 3,000 jobs from Bloomberg. Another headline, the great debt unwind beneath the surface, U.S. commercial bankruptcies soar. That's reality. And the only thing that's kept the facade going again is printed Fed fiat money. For those that don't understand what the Federal Reserve is, a group of private bankers that run the world, literally. Those who print the money run militaries, they run countries, they artificially inflate stock markets, and they profit along the whole path. Another headline, July factory orders did not rebound. Why would that be a surprise? But the market stays up anyway, at least for the moment. Another headline, wholesale sales tumble most since January. Inventories ratio deep in recessionary territory. Can't keep the facade going much longer. Another headline, it's worse than the Great Depression. End quote, 1 in 6 prime age men has no job. That's in the U.S., 1 in 6. And for those who think that the unemployment rate has any reality to it, you don't know much about the system, because as people stop looking for work, as they run out of benefits, they no longer count in the equation. That's the reality. So the unemployment figure is just as false as the stock market numbers. all a grand facade. Again, we're all living in the grand facade, the grand Truman Show that we wake up to every morning like Groundhog Day. Two examples I've given over and over. Another headline, election rigging tensions rise with questions on reliability of paperless voting machines. You don't have paperless voting machines if it's not to rig elections, period. It's proven on the record that these machines are easily hacked, easily manipulated. And why would we not see through this? For all the reasons I cited in the beginning of this show. Because people don't want reality. The majority don't want it. But yet, in taking on such a position, all we do is further manifest the consequences that are coming. The sooner we face reality, the more we may have left to salvage. From Ron Paul, vote all you want, the secret government won't change. Salute Mr. Paul for stating that truth. The elections are a facade. The whole process is a facade. It's election theater. And anyone that can't see through the facade, through the dog and pony show, has their eyes wide shut. Period. How many of these cycles will we go through before people understand it's all theater to distract them, to make them think they have some say in the matter when they don't? They absolutely don't. The secret government, and that's exactly what it is. There is a core group of global power, separate fractions of these power with separate interests that will start to infight. They're starting to infight now. That's in our favor, actually, because it greatens the chance of this core group of global control collapsing, and it needs to collapse. It must collapse, and it's up to all of us to help it collapse by refusing to participate in the facade. Trump and Clinton will both continue to push the military-industrial juggernaut of insanity. Period. Here's a headline from that arena that mainstream media neglected to cover. This is the headline. The U.S. Army made trillions of dollars in accounting errors. Not millions, not billions, trillions. And this is the sort of fraud that goes on with a system that is built on fraud. It's built on deception. It's built on the endless lust for power and control by those who run that system, back to the central bankers. And those who participate in the system, again, are just as guilty in many ways. Anyone who is willing to sacrifice virtue or their fellow man for their own paychecks and pensions is a part of the crimes, period. So, again, the headline, U.S. Army made trillions of dollars in accounting errors from that report. The report affirms a 2013 Reuters series revealing how the Defense Department falsified accounting on a massive scale as it scrambled to close its books. Continuing from the report, the U.S. Army's finances are such a travesty of accounting that the department made trillions of dollars of improper adjustments to create the illusion that its books are balanced, an internal investigation has revealed. Continuing from the report, the Defense Department Inspector General in June said the Army made $2.8 trillion in wrongful adjustments to accounting entries in one quarter alone. Think about that. $2.8 trillion in wrongful adjustments in one quarter alone in 2015 and $6.5 trillion for the year. Yet the Army lacked receipts and invoices to support those numbers or simply made them up. Report continues. As a result, the Army's financial statements for 2015 were materially misstated. The report concluded, the forced adjustments rendered the statements useless because the DoD and the Army managers could not rely on the data in their accounting systems when making management and resource decisions. Disclosure of the Army's manipulation of the numbers is the latest example of the severe accounting problems plaguing the Defense Department for decades. The report affirms in a 2013 Reuters series revealed how the Defense Department falsified accounting on a large scale as it scrambled to close its books. As a result, there has been no way to know how the Defense Department, far and away the biggest chunk of Congress's annual budget, spends the public's money. Well, they're spending a lot of that money spraying us all. Climate engineering is as real as it gets. There'll be no hiding it much longer. And how many people will take pause at how long they denied the reality they could see with their own eyes. The environment disintegrating around them, the UV radiation unimaginably intense. It's painful to stand in the sun very long. And how many ignore their own sensitivity, their own skin in the sun burning, tree bark burning off of trees. I mean, it's everywhere. The signs are everywhere. The rain has been cut off. Forests are dying. Streams are drying up. Salmon are dying. How many people will take pause when they finally open their eyes and see what was right before them the whole time? And we have here confirmation that trillions of dollars can't be accounted for. Well, I wonder why. Probably hard for the Army or the DOD in general to state we're using this for climate modification that's completely decimating Earth's life support systems. Do we think they're going to tell us that? Really? Final statement from the report. The new report focused on the Army's general fund, the bigger of its two main accounts with assets of $282 billion. So how do you, if their assets are that small and they're not accounting for trillions, it means that the majority of their resources are simply behind the curtain. That's exactly what's going on. And how does that go on? Because we have central banks that can print whatever they want. And tracing this all the way back again to former shows, former reports, why Middle Eastern countries are toppled, why dictators like Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi were taken out, it wasn't about freedom or democracy. It was about maintaining the dollar as the global reserve currency, because that allows the central bankers to print as much as they want to pump into their military machine, their military juggernaut of insanity that's wreaking havoc around the globe and indeed on our own population, assaulting our own population with climate engineering programs that are absolutely going on, that anyone who actually researches the science will verify. It also funds who knows how much of the sort of draconian behavior of institutions like the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, that now, and I'll get to this more later in the report, is being given, perhaps, if legislation passes, the right to unlawfully detain U.S. citizens without recourse, force vaccinate. This is the country that we live in now. Now, back to climate engineering and the military. Why would they engage in this? I have so many people ask me, why would they engage in climate engineering? And the obvious response is, why wouldn't they? Weather warfare is a matter of historical fact. It's not theory or conjecture. It's historical fact. Project Popeye in Vietnam, Project Storm Fury, massive government documents posted at geoengineeringwatch.org, 750-page congressional documents, 80-page presidential reports, congressional reports. I could go on and on. We have the military brass long since stating on the record that the greatest U.S. national security threat is the imploding climate. Why in the world would we think that they're not going to engage in climate engineering regardless of the consequences? Regardless of the consequences. I want to state that emphatically. And then I hear the why would they do this to themselves? I've heard that more times than I could ever recount. How many things have the military-industrial complex and those in power done to themselves along with the rest of us? Enough nuclear weapons to mathematically destroy life on Earth 12,000 times over. We have Fukushima, which I'll get to an updated report on that in a few moments, that's continuing to disintegrate. Nuclear volcanoes, yet we're building more nuclear plants right now. There is no sanity in this equation. None. The goal of a cancer is to expand at any cost. It's a heartless, mindless, soulless organism. That's what a cancer is. And that's what's running the world right now. A cancer that only wants to proliferate at any cost to anything until it destroys the host. And that's exactly what's happening. The cancer is destroying the host, the planet, and its life support systems, and all of us with it. So back to another headline relating to the climate. This is a recent report. Quote, the two-degree goal and the question of geoengineering. Subheadline, how much geoengineering would be necessary to hit this temperature target? Now, first, understand, mathematically speaking, we are past 2 degrees C of warming now. Officially, we're told we're only past 1 degree C of warming, but that's a lie. Statistically, everywhere we verify temperatures, and we have at geoengineeringwatch.org from many locations, we see a 4 to 5 degree under-reporting. Not an over-reporting as some people who are clinging to their denial, as I spoke about earlier in this broadcast, who don't want to wake up, who don't want to look at facts, who don't want to look at data. They're clinging to their denial that, in fact, there is no global warming, according to them. I don't know what planet they're on, but it's not this planet. So available data indicates we're not only past 2 degrees C of warming, we're past 3.5 degrees C right now. The mathematical data indicates, if you look at the actual frontline readings, that we are likely past 3.5 degrees C of warming on the planet right now, which means we're past the point at which humans have survived on the planet or have existed on the planet. And that doesn't mean that everybody just passes away immediately. Of course not. It takes time for these processes to take place, but it means we're in completely uncharted territory, completely uncharted. And the die-off is occurring. Again, I've quoted this figure more times than I can remember, but I want to quote it again. Our species die-off today, we've already lost 60% of Earth's wildlife populations in the last 40 years. Nearly two-thirds of the wildlife population is gone in 40 years. That should be alarming enough to people. But we're losing now, it appears, up to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect a day to extinction. That should be alarming enough to people. And for those that say it's normal, a normal cyclical pattern, there's nothing normal about those rates. Those rates are, in fact, about 1.5% of normal. That's 15,000 times normal. Nothing normal about that. So all that should be very alarming to people, and it lends credence to everything I've just stated. Those are figures that anyone can find if they spend any time investigating. Now, from this report, again, of an analyzation from the National Center for Atmospheric Research. That's where this report came from. The report states, with world leaders agreeing to try to limit the increase in global temperatures, scientists at NCAR, again, National Center for Atmospheric Research, are taking a look at whether geoengineering the climate could counter enough warming to help meet that goal. Again, this is the notion that we're not geoengineering already is can only be maintained by an institution in academia that's totally in denial and paid to stay there. The report continues. In a new study, the scientists found that if society doesn't make steep cuts in greenhouse gas emissions in the next couple of decades, injections of planet-cooling sulfates via aircraft into the atmosphere could theoretically limit warming to 2 degrees Celsius, or 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, above pre-industrial levels. But such geoengineering would mean a sustained effort stretching over more than a century and a half, and it would fail to prevent certain aspects of climate change. Now, let's just look at that. This is from scientists. This is from the experts that we are taught, trained, and told to acknowledge without questioning. Here's from the experts. One, they completely deny that geoengineering is already going on. When we have mountains of data, film footage, patents, government documents, lab tests to confirm it's absolutely going on, but they deny it. Two, they somehow make believe that if we just fly jets around for the next 160 years, that's what the report states, if we just fly aircraft around for the next 160 years, spraying toxic particles into the atmosphere, that somehow that will mitigate global warming. What kind of insanity is this? This is from the National Center for Atmospheric Research. How could that help anything? And what happens when those materials settle down to Earth? Well, we know, because they are settling down to Earth, have been settling down to Earth. And in addition to vaccinations causing autism problems and neurological problems in people, how much even bigger is the problem that every breath we take is laden with toxic heavy metals and chemicals related directly to climate engineering programs? And we know this. This is not theory, not conjecture, not speculation. We have the lab tests to prove about 70 in Northern California alone, that there is a mountain of toxic heavy metals raining down on us, starting with aluminum and barium, known massively toxic elements to the human body. It's happening now, and yet we have massive groups of scientists completely oblivious to reality because they're paid to remain oblivious, and yet proposing, trying to tell us that perhaps this is something we should consider as mitigation for the destruction we've done to the planet. Flying jets around for at least 160 years, which has been going on for 70 already, spraying toxic elements into the sky. And somehow that's going to mitigate the damage already done. What kind of mentality is that? Continuing from the report from the National Center for Atmospheric Research, quote, one thing that surprised me, this is from the head researcher, about this study is how much geoengineering it would take to stay within 2 degrees if we don't start reducing greenhouse gases soon, which we're not doing, we're increasing it, by the way, said the in-car scientist Simone Tilmes, the lead author. For the study, the research team focused on the potential impacts of geoengineering temperatures, the drying of land surfaces, and Arctic sea ice. They did not examine, and by the way, the amount of material, this is why this lead author was so taken back by the amount of geoengineering, proposal of 20 million tons of sprayed particles into the atmosphere annually. 20 million tons. That's 600 to 1,000 aircraft every single day, fully loaded tankers, spraying payloads of particles into the sky, and that's exactly what's happening, by the way. But here we have this in-car scientist acting surprised at such figures, apparently oblivious and paid to be oblivious to the fact that it's been occurring over his head his entire life, and he still doesn't know. So, again, the research team, the final statement from this report, the research team focused on the potential impacts of geoengineering on temperatures, the drying of land surfaces. Don't we have that? We have it all over the globe. Yes, we have deluges in places because that water that's diverted from one area piles up in another and comes down in a deluge. When you interfere with the climate system, you destroy the hydrological cycle. So for those who live in an area where it's rained a lot recently, that's not the whole world. The planet as a whole is drying out. Geoengineering is what's drying it out. We have atmospheric relative humidity declining, not rising. That's virtually impossible on a warming planet. The laws of physics say so. 7% more moisture for every degree of warming centigrade. So you can't have a drying out planet that's warming unless you have geoengineering. But what the report did not examine was adverse environmental consequences, such as damage to the ozone layer. This is right from the National Center for Atmospheric Research report. Damage to the ozone layer, which I spoke about earlier, and the sulfate injections also would not alleviate the impact of carbon dioxide emissions and ocean acidification. Now, what did they fail to remember to mention in this report? What about all of us have to breathe what's being sprayed? And this is from academia. So when we're back to vaccinations, we're back to 9/11, the three big lies that I'm trying to outline in this report. We have groups of scientists, for example, in the case of 9/11 and Building 7 collapsing, was so unexplainable that the entire 9/11 report didn't even mention, by the way, there was a third building that collapsed at free fall speed and never got hit by anything. So we have NIST, the National Institute for Science and Technology, who supposedly gave us the official story for 9/11. These buildings from a carbon fire, it's impossible for buildings 1 and 2 to have collapsed from a carbon fire. It's impossible. It's not even close to warm enough to cause the damage done. We have 2,700 architects and engineers now telling us on the record that the official story is virtually impossible, but yet we have the government's largest science institute telling us that's what happened and never mentioning Building 7 because you can't explain Building 7 from any direction. You can't. We have vaccinations. We have mountains of data to prove the correlation between vaccinations and autism. But the public refuses to look because they're told to obey the, quote, experts. The medical professionals refuse to look and acknowledge what they've been participating in for a lot of reasons. A primary one is because their paychecks and pensions depend on them not looking. And we as a society have allowed this. And back to this report from the National Atmospheric Research Center, we have a report that discusses putting 20 million tons of toxic particles into the atmosphere, which has long since been happening for anybody who chooses to look up and open their eyes, and yet not a single mention in this science report about the fact that that completely contaminates the entire planet and every breath we take. And these are the, quote, experts that we are told are watching out over everything. Time to wake up from the delusion. Time to wake up. Now, if we look around here in Northern California, The hot days continue with almost no exceptions. Hot nights, doesn't cool off at night. Back to the methane I mentioned earlier in the show. That's a harbinger of methane because methane is over a 10-year time horizon, 100 to 120 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. Methane is blanketing the planet right now like a layer of glass, which traps heat. The geoengineers continue to spray to try to apparently mitigate some of the ozone damage which was caused by the spraying in the first place. This is just like the pharmaceutical approach. If you take this particular drug and causes all these consequences, and here's 50 more drugs to take for the consequences, which requires you to take even more drugs for those consequences, this is the mentality we have. So we wake up every morning with silvery white skies, hot, feels like you're in a microwave oven, burning the bark off of trees, burning the leaves off of trees. We're getting UVB readings that are 1,000% higher than we're being told. 10 times higher. Easy to feel on the skin, on surfaces, and yet, because the population has been so completely conditioned to believe if something was wrong, someone would tell them. They ignore their own senses. They ignore their own sense of reason as well, at their own peril, because it's not going to stop what's coming. Denial won't stop what's coming. Now, to weave something else back into this, here's a headline from the Energy News Bulletin. Back to what they have done to themselves. Fukushima. This is something that many Americans think is all better now. Could not be further from the truth. Here's the headline. Typhoons cause failure of, quote, ice wall around Fukushima reactors. Highly radioactive water flowing into the ocean. Structure is, quote, critically effective. Fears over multiple sections of barrier that have thawed. The plan to block groundwater is, quote, failing. Now, most people don't know what the ice wall was. It's a chemically created ice barrier in the ground around the reactors to try to stop the groundwater from flowing out into the sea. And that chemically created ice barrier, perhaps with some of the same technology and elements that are being used, we know, for chemical ice nucleation in the atmosphere. Because right now we have record warm temperatures in the west, record warm in the east, and yet we have snow falling in certain sections of the northern states. How can that be? The warmest year ever recorded, 2016 will go down as the warmest year ever recorded, beating 2015. 2015 beat 2014. We've had now 15 months in a row of record-setting months. 15 in a row. And not record-setting months for just the month, all-time record warm months. Each breaking the previous month's record 15 months in a row. So how can it be record warm temperatures on each side of the country and yet there's snow falling in the center? Welcome to chemical ice nucleation. So again, the same process being used in Fukushima for a completely desperate attempt to stop the radioactive waste from flowing out an ice wall. But we have typhoons now dumping so much water, it's melting the ice wall. And what a completely inadequate attempt to contain this nuclear volcano. Three of them, by the way, three full meltdowns. These are the headlines we don't see. And when it comes to hiding what's happening after Fukushima happened, again, a reminder, our government shut down the nuclear or the radiation monitoring stations along the U.S. West Coast. Why? Why would they do that? Why did our government stop testing with certain water testing agencies for aluminum in 2002? Why did they do that? The American public is completely asleep at the wheel, completely asleep. Let me get to some more headlines before I run out of time. Now, about the true state of the Arctic, because many Americans have, again, bought the complete propaganda. This is back to the methane, the Arctic thawing out, which is releasing formerly frozen methane hydrate deposits in the sea bottom, because as the ice thaws, instead of the ice reflecting 90% of the sun's incoming thermal radiation, now the ocean absorbs 90%. Oceans warm even faster. We have some Arctic ocean temperatures as much as 26 degrees above normal. The Arctic is in total meltdown. And some people believe this is not the case because they believe whatever headline they see and they don't investigate. So here's a headline anyone can look at. This is from yesterday. Quote, giant cruise ship makes historic voyage in melting Arctic. From that report, the Crystal Serenity's visit to Alaska's western coast is historic at nearly 3 football fields long and 13 stories Paul. The cruise ship is the largest ever to traverse the Northwest Passage, where its well-heeled, i.e., rich guests glimpsed polar bears, kayaked along Canada's North Shore, landed on pristine beaches, and hiked where few have stepped. The terrible irony with the Crystal Serenity's voyage is that it's taking place only because of the melting Arctic, said Michael Bears, a professor in the Political Science Department at the University of British Columbia. The Northwest Passage, which connects the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans, has long been choked off by ice, but melting, brought on by a disintegrating climate, is allowing passengers to cruise up the Bering Strait and then head east towards Greenland over the Arctic Ocean before docking in New York. Think about that. We have people who are thrilled to watch the implosion happen. Some of those tickets were as much as $120,000 for this cruise ship. What a twisted irony it all is. So, again, we have the imploding climate, we have the power structure becoming desperate, we have the attempt to lock down in society happening, and as we trace back to one of these three main events I'm covering in the show, vaccinations, climate engineering, and 9/11, and 9/11 on the 15th anniversary tomorrow, here we have a report from, because these events are all connected. Again, those in power knew that this implosion was coming. The American people are oblivious, but they needed 9/11. 9/11 was the new Pearl Harbor, which helped them launch their attempt to secure the remaining resources and lock down in societies. Here's a report from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. This is a former cabinet member of the Reagan administration, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. So for those who don't know who he is, you should investigate him. Part of the Reagan administration, from Dr. Roberts. In a few days, it will be the 15th anniversary of 9/11, and this November 13th will be the 53rd anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in Dallas, Texas. These two state crimes against democracy destroyed American democracy, accountable government, and the Constitution's protection of civil liberty. And the fact that he brings up Kennedy's assassination, because how long did Kennedy live after he talked about the secret societies that are running the military-industrial complex? He lived about a week. All this is connected, all of it. Dr. Roberts continues, years after the damage done by these events, the American people no longer believe the official stories, neither does the government. But the government will never validate the distrust that the Americans now share of the oligarchs' government by acknowledging the truth. Dr. Roberts continues, so now we are faced with a peculiar situation. The scientifically ignorant two-bit punk American prestitutes, i.e. the press that I just named earlier also, claim to know more than the editors of the Journal of the European Physics Community and the scientists who did the investigation. Don't you think it's far-fetched that ignorant, corrupt, and cowardly American journalists who lie for money know more than physicists, chemists, and 2,700 high-rise architects and structural engineers, that's the group I mentioned earlier, 9/11 Architects and Engineers for Truth, 2,700 top professionals from around the world who are telling us very conclusively the official story is virtually impossible, who have called on the U.S. Congress to launch a real investigation of 9/11, firefighters and first responders who were on the World Trade Center scene, military and civilian pilots and former high government officials, all of whom are on record challenging the unbelievable and physically impossible official story of 9/11. What kind of a moron, and this is Dr. Craig's words, not mine, Dr. Roberts says, what kind of moron does a person have to be to believe that the United States government and its media prestitutes no better than the laws of physics? End of his report. This is again from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former Reagan cabinet official. Consider that. Now, on 9/11, Architects and Engineers, I want to make an announcement from Richard Gage, who's the head of this group. They're having an inquiry with professionals and attorneys present to cover the events of September 11th from 9/11 Architects and Engineers. On 9/11/2016, hundreds of researchers and activists will gather in the historic Great Hall of Cooper Union in New York City on Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th, In an 800-seat auditorium, they will assess the state of ongoing efforts to expose the truth and obtain justice for the attacks that killed nearly 3,000 innocent victims that continue to serve as the pretext for the global war on terrorism. All of this ties together. All of it connects to the imploding environment. All of it connects to the desperation of those in power. Now, on that desperation, on to the CDC report, which I mentioned earlier. CDC to be given powers to detain citizens en masse for any reason at any time. That's the headline. And what they're already doing, I covered last week. They're spraying highly toxic organophosphates on populations. It's killing everything. It's not killing us as fast as killing insects, but if you search organic phosphates and understand how toxic they are, and your own government is spraying its own civilians with this, if you're not alarmed, you're not awake. Continuing from the report, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, will be allowed to arrest U.S. citizens en masse and detain them indefinitely with no process of appeal in a controversial new legislation being proposed by the agency. Final statement from that report, the proposed, quote, control of communicable diseases rule will allow the CDC to apprehend healthy people and force them to take all forms of vaccinations that the agency deems appropriate. Is that what you want your government to do to you? Without your consent? And to add credibility to this, here's an excerpt from the CDC website itself. Quote, legal authorities for isolation and quarantine. This is right from the CDC site. Isolation and quarantine. Isolation and quarantine help protect the public by preventing exposure to people who have or may have a contagious disease. May have, again, based on their opinion. Isolation separates sick people with a contagious disease from people who are not sick. We know that. Quarantine separates and restricts the movement of people who were exposed to a contagious disease. Exposed in whose opinion? In their opinion? To see if they become sick. In addition to serving as medical functions, isolation and quarantine are also, quote, police power functions derived from the right of the state to take action affecting individuals for the benefit of society. Is it for the benefit of society to spray our population with organophosphates? Is that for the benefit of society? Are the nuclear volcanoes in Fukushima for the benefit of society? In fact, in the eyes of some who run our government, destroying the World Trade Center towers and killing 3,000 innocent Americans was in their mind for the benefit of society because they feel they needed to do that to galvanize the American public to support the military-industrial complex juggernaut of insanity and its attempt to secure the final remaining resources on the planet. That's the lens through which these people look. And for the American population, again, if you think that because of the Zika virus scare and the effects that are being blamed on Zika virus, which may in fact be coming from the toxic chemicals being sprayed themselves. If you think that's for your own good, to be sprayed with organophosphates, you're asleep at the wheel. And your government and those who run the government, those who receive their paychecks and pensions from the government, agency officials and so forth, are willing to participate with this insanity because they perceive it to be for their own good, for their own personal good. And that's the kind of society we live in. It's not about what's for the greater good. It's about each individual thinking that what they're doing is for their own good. If they just follow orders, their own personal bubble will be maintained. And that's a recipe for certain near-term total extinction, and that's exactly the road we're on. From the final CDC report here, this is from the CDC site, federal isolation and quarantine are authorized for these communicable diseases, and amongst those is the flu. So the government now is trying to pass powers that would allow the CDC to detain you and perhaps force vaccinate you for the flu. The power structure is completely desperate. The media they control are completely desperate and being used as a tool to perpetuate the lies and cover up the crimes. That's what our media is doing now, and it's up to us to hold them accountable. Final statement from this CDC report. Federal isolation and quarantine are authorized by executive order of the president. The president can revise the list by executive order. In other words, he's a dictator at that point. Do we want dictator Clinton or dictator Trump, both of whom are completely behind the military-industrial complex? No, we should not participate in a system that's rigged from bottom to top with fixed voting machines, fixed outcomes, and complete theater along the way. That's the bottom line. Now, back to how dire is our situation. All these things connect to the imploding biosphere, as I said earlier. And I said earlier I would talk about how deep are the lies with what's happening, how severe it is. So we have scientists like Guy McPherson, who I once had amiable communication with about the subject of geoengineering, but at some point something changed. At some point, Guy McPherson has been perhaps threatened, and this is my opinion. He's not stated this to me, but Guy McPherson, again, who is a key figure in the climate science community right now and who is not telling the truth about climate engineering, I asked Guy McPherson this question. Guy, doesn't the Arctic Methane Emergency Group, they must know about climate engineering? That's what I said. They must know. And what was Guy's response? He said, yes, they must. Now, I'm stating it on the record. I don't care what Guy says about that. He tried to threaten me once for repeating that statement. He can threaten me all he wants. I don't care. That statement was made, and that was his reply. Yes, they must know. So what happened with Guy McPherson to then suddenly after compare climate engineering with a, quote, flying spaghetti monster? And those are Guy's words also. He said he refuses to believe in a flying spaghetti monster, i.e. climate engineering, even though we have the whole world, all of the climate science community, nations around the globe discussing climate engineering. People like Guy McPherson have either been threatened or they've lost their sense of reason because they're not telling the truth about climate engineering. So that means whatever they're saying is not valid. So when we have people like Guy McPherson parading around the world trying to tell people, get your affairs in order because you have no chance. You have no chance. And yet they're not telling the truth about climate engineering. They're simply saying with the methane release, the biosphere implosion, we're nearly at the end of the road. There's not much time left and there's nothing you can do. But that's a half-truth because we don't know. We don't know what will happen when climate engineering is brought to a halt and industrialized civilization collapses. How profound will the Earth's life support systems respond if they're allowed to respond? And this we don't know. We simply have academia lying on every front, from vaccinations to 9/11 to the uncharted territory that we are now on in regard to the climate. And the climate is in a runaway warming mode right now. There's no question about that. The data is everywhere. But what will happen when the intervention with the climate, and I would challenge anybody to investigate the science terms, not the marginalized terms that our media puts out, but the science terms, climate engineering, geoengineering, solar radiation management. Investigate science and you will find science to back that up. But what are the scientists not telling us, again, in regard to these three major issues? Vaccinations, 9/11, and climate engineering. I want to repeat a final time a Mark Twain quote, because it so applies here. In the beginning of change, the patriot is brave and scarce, hated and scorned. But in the end, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. So I know I've said that before, but I want to repeat that as I make these points. For all those listening, where do you fit into the equation? Are you one of the well-trained minions of society that gives a knee-jerk response with ridicule to anyone that dares question the official narratives on 9/11 vaccinations or climate engineering? Are you a public or government employee, an agency official, an elected representative that has sold your virtue to the official narrative of deception in exchange for a paycheck and a pension? Ask yourself why you're here. Ask yourself what life's about, and ask yourself how you look your own image in the mirror if you're willing, if you are a willing and active part of the insanity that's unfolding around us on all sides. An insanity which is being ultimately pushed and propagated by those who control the flow of money, those who control governments, militaries, agencies, the media, medical institutions, and everything else that's dependent on the flow of printed funds from the central bankers. I'll end with this. Denial of reality will not change it. Running away from what we collectively face will only amplify the consequences of the seeds that the human race has sown. If there's any chance whatsoever to alter the current path of certain demise that our species is on, a demise that will also involve the rest of life on Earth, We must face reality head on. We must completely alter our current course. This is our only chance for survival. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.